right. So this is one of the rare days throughout the sporting calendar where it just feels like there is way too many things to talk about. And I feel like we're in that right now, especially as it relates to this show, because we have to talk about last week's 49ers game. We have to talk about last week's Raider game. And I was more than happy to kick off the show with that. But then this whole Russell Wilson news decided to just show up in the middle of the evening yesterday. And now we have that to talk about. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in appropriately, but here we are. And you know what? I'm excited to talk about all three topics. Sam, before we jump into everything, how was your Christmas?
Man, it had a really sour end to it. Yeah. I don't know if you had this feeling like I did, but it was just weird having football games on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. Like, it almost took a little bit away from the holidays.
No, I don't feel that at all. I actually rolled over as I was sitting on the couch. I rolled over, looked at my dad, and was like, "Man, they should make this like Thanksgiving. Like, Thanksgiving just is one of the last Thursdays of November. Let's just make Christmas just keep putting it on a Sunday." But obviously we can't do that. But I really enjoyed it. Maybe for me it was a little bit different because it was the Raiders playing that morning. I know the 49ers played that night for you, but opening gifts, hanging out with my family and watching the Raiders early in the morning, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, it's like confusing in my brain. It's like we have football games and I associate football games with Sunday, of course, and like that feeling of pretty much every Sunday from September all the way till February is I am watching football that day. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have that mindset. I have that mindset in mind. And then Christmas is like this whole different thing that you have these traditions. Every single family has the same things they do pretty much every year. And I mean, I saw three different like sections of the family on Christmas. Like, it was just crazy. Then to have the Niner game that night, a thing that is so important to me, but it was almost like it almost diminished what was going on. It it's hard to share both. Like, you have this special day of Christmas night, Christmas dinner, but then there's the Niner game happening at the same mm-hmm. time, right? And it's just like it almost takes you out of both because you can't enjoy each of them entirely.
But basketball doesn't do that for you?
No, see, because, well, obviously the Kings have never been on Christmas Day
right. Our
entire lives. So if there was a Kings game on, I think that might be kind of different. But basketball, we've touched on it on this show a million times of the significance of regular season basketball between regular season football. I think regular season football, the games mean more than basketball. So I can be like in and out of a basketball game on Christmas Day. Like, yeah, it's awesome. You get the best teams playing, but I don't really have to pay attention because if I miss games, it's not going to be the end of the world. But if I miss the Niners playing, or I'm probably never going to watch a Chiefs game ever again because they're just, that's like the worst product of football on the face of the planet. But a big game like that, a big team playing like that, it's like, oh, well, I got to see what's happening, especially with fantasy going on too. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. I was like, man, I really need the Niners to win. I really need Brandon Ayuk to go off. I need all these things, but then it's also Christmas Day.
Right. No, I get that. I think for me, maybe it was a little bit different because the game that I wanted to watch was right in the morning, and that was kind of before and at the beginning of when people started coming over. So we were able to sort of finish the Raider game while sort of starting the event with, my extended family. So it kind of worked out timing wise, but it also helps that pretty much everybody in who came over was also interested in the game as well. So
they played well. Like, imagine,
yeah.
imagine if the Raiders like got smoked in that game. Wouldn't that just ruin Christmas for you?
It may have, but that's not what happened. So let's start there. That's the perfect segue.
Yeah.
Perfect segue into that game. So obviously at this point, we're filming on December 28th. It's Thursday. The game happened a while ago. So we got other stuff we need to get to. That's the Russell Wilson stuff is more relevant, but I have to talk about this game. All of a sudden the Raiders defense has become a fantastic unit. The fact that they were basically able to make the Chiefs offense non-existent in the second half. I know the Chiefs eventually scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but first quarter, I think they had negative yards in the first quarter. If it wasn't negative, it was really close. And the Raiders take that big lead going into halftime. It was 17-7. The defense was playing great. Our offense still isn't playing amazing. I mean, they've got players who are playing well, like Zamir White had a really good game. None of the receivers had an outstanding game, mainly because Aiden O'Connell didn't have an amazing game, which I will get to Aiden in a little bit, because you and my dad have been bad-mouthing Aiden, but I don't see it the exact same way.
Your dad jumped on it too?
I don't see it the same way that you guys do. But for me, Antonio Pierce definitely earned, I think, that job in the game. I definitely think he earned a head coaching nod for next year. Whether or not they give him a super long-term deal or not, I'm not sure. But to go into Kansas City, to perform the way that they did, not only to perform the way that they did, but to close the game and to actually win it, that was one of the most unexpected things I've seen this season from the Raiders. And there really is a drastic difference between the effort that it seems like everybody on the team is giving from when McDaniels was fired to when Pierce was hired. I think they're 4-3 since Pierce has taken over. And the energy and morale around the team just seems to have taken such a massive jump forward, and it's extremely noticeable. And I think if you're the ownership of the Las Vegas Raiders, you have an identical situation to what you had with the Rich Bisaccia thing, from the standpoint of you fire a coach midseason, somebody takes over, that coach is beloved, starts leading them to wins, and then you have an offseason decision to make. And they ended up firing Rich Bisaccia, which who knows if that was the right or wrong decision. I guess hindsight, it was probably the wrong decision, because who knows how well Rich Bisaccia would have done. I'm almost positive he would have done a better job than what Josh McDaniels did. But now you have that identical situation going into this offseason, regardless of whether or not the Raiders went out or not. But I don't think that you can fire Antonio Pierce when everybody had such a visceral reaction to Rich Bisaccia being fired. Again, you have, like I said, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but you have the same exact situation, and I think it would just be foolish to not at least give Antonio Pierce a chance next season to coach the team. As far as Aiden O'Connell, here's the thing I'll say about Aiden.
He's trash.
No. Here's the thing I'll say about him. Obviously, he's a rookie, and he has a lot of moments throughout games where he looks like a rookie. My whole thing about him is right now is that he does not recognize pressure fast enough, which that would be okay if you were athletic enough to pull yourself out of those situations, like maybe an Anthony Richardson. Lamar obviously can do that. Patrick Mahomes can do that. Even Purdy at times, if he recognizes pressure late, can get himself out of there. If you are going to have a lack of recognition for pressure, then you need to be able to get yourself out of it. Aiden does not have that ability. I don't know if he really is just extremely unathletic or he just doesn't like running. I'm not sure what it is. But because he recognizes pressure seemingly just a half second too late, he doesn't have any other option but to go down. So there are a lot of plays throughout the game where you sit there and you go, man, like if he'd have just taken a few steps to the left or a few steps to the right, or just roll down a little bit more, that would have been a positive play. So I don't think that he's been playing poorly. I think when he gets chances to stay upright, he makes some throws throughout games that are absolutely awesome. Tony Romo was singing his praise so much last week. And I – or did they do the game? I can't remember if it was they actually at the beginning. Game. Okay, so then it would have been at the beginning of the Chiefs game. He was talking about how much he loved what Aiden had been doing. And I really have been enjoying watching Aiden play. The only thing that I think is holding him back right now is the fact that he's recognizing pressure late. And that's that. Like I said, that would be fine if you were athletic enough to get yourself out of those situations. He's not. So he has to fix that, which I think he has, at least in my opinion, because the Raiders have played their way out of getting a top pick. So unless Davante Adams is on the trading block, which my dad and I were kind of thinking that maybe that's the reason why Davante didn't get traded, you know, when the whole McDaniels thing was going on, because they're going to use him as draft. I mean, during the draft to move up. If they can't move up and get a quarterback, which I don't think they're going to, then I think Aiden definitely deserves another look, a full season, like an off season to develop and see what he can do. Because I think he's shown enough good stuff to warrant getting a look at. I don't think he's nearly as bad as you and my dad seem to think he is. But those are my thoughts on the Raiders. As far as the Chiefs, man, I mean, for me, it's awesome. I love watching them lose. It's absolutely amazing. But, I mean, it just feels right now that the Dolphins, the Bills, the Ravens, the Browns, all of those teams feel like they're significantly better than the Chiefs. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. I think the ultimate equalizer for the Chiefs these last 5 years that Mahomes has been starting was, well, that offense is going to carry him. Like, that offense is going to be there. How do you contend with the Chiefs' offense? And it's just not there this year. Time and time again for whatever. Well, I mean, personnel issues aside, I think there's just a lot of things. It was that watching that game. So I saw live, I saw the two defensive touchdowns for the Raiders. And to me, that just, it was almost like a, what's the word? Like an arrogance for the Chiefs and almost like Andy Reid play calling of, oh yeah, we're going to, like, we'll show everyone we can still do these wacky, weird plays and like we're the same old Chiefs. So that direct snap to Pacheco and then he hands it off to Mahomes. Like, why make it that complicated? Especially right on your own side of the field. I get in the red zone trying that, but on your side of the field, on your, what, 25, I think it was, after your defense just got a big stop, why are you now doing that? Like, you have the momentum of the game. They just scored on their last possession with a Pacheco run. It's like, why is there this thing to prove with the Chiefs and they're just shooting themselves in the foot? I mean, the big thing, they cut away to Mahomes yelling at his O-line on the sideline, like just screaming at them. And they've not been playing. I mean, he's received a lot of pressure, I think, is the big thing. But then for him to do that big of a display, because you know that that's going to be caught on cameras and talked about because he is Mahomes, the face of the league, for him then the very next series to fumble a ball that leads to a touchdown. And then the very next play throws, I mean, a really uncharacteristic pick. That was kind of bizarre. Like, he underthrew Watson or didn't see the DB that was underneath. Like, that was kind of weird. It's just unraveling for him.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Over the past couple weeks, I don't know if it was, I don't think they started this way at the beginning of the season, but I think a lot of people have been turned off by the Chiefs through, it's honestly not their fault, but with all the Taylor Swift stuff that's been going on around the Chiefs, I think a lot of like NFL fans have really been turned off by that, which again, if anybody listening is turned off by that, all I can say is Taylor's not doing anything wrong. The Chiefs aren't doing anything wrong with that. And the broadcast really isn't doing anything wrong with that either, because you have arguably the most famous person in the world going to one of the most high-profile NFL franchises right now. So you're bringing in an audience that wouldn't normally be there. Nobody's doing anything wrong, but I understand, you know, being a little bit turned off by that. So I think a lot of people, you know, kind of started to not like the Chiefs, honestly, through no fault of their own because of that. And then with the Mahomes outburst, and then I know that there was a Kelce outburst on the sideline as well. And, you know, Mahomes is actually, I say outburst as if it was one. He had the one the previous week as well, obviously, with the Travis Kelce play. They just kind of feel like they've become a little unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's a perception that I'm getting from people on social media and just people that I talk to, you know, on a day-to-day basis who like sports. It just seems like the public is really sort of done with them and are kind of like reveling in the fact that they're kind of free-falling right now. As a Raider fan, I love it. They can keep free-falling. If they lose out and the Raiders win out, they're automatically in the playoffs, so that's awesome.
The Raiders will?
Yes, because the Raiders would win the division if that happened.
Wow.
So I don't, and not only, and the Raiders could still get a wild card playoff spot. The Raiders would have to win out and they would need help. They're not in a great situation right now, but the nice thing is that all of the like stuff that would need to fall in the Raiders' favor isn't super unrealistic. It's not like they need like the Patriots to beat the Dolphins or something like that. Like the games that they need are not that crazy to see happening. So, but the Raiders would obviously have to take care of business. So I'm all good with the Chiefs free falling. I'm good. I'm the wrong person to ask about that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think this is like the first time in Mahomes' career where he's been received probably this much hate.
Yeah, and truthfully, I never hated him. I mean, he hadn't done. I mean, of course he plays for the Chiefs, and I don't like the Chiefs, but like he had never done anything that I honestly thought was all that egregious. But you're right. Like people are starting to not like him.
Well, yeah, I think a part of it too is you don't have Brady this year, so I think Brady, with all of his success, a lot of people genuinely didn't care for him because of how much he won, like how many franchises he beat in the Super Bowl and prevented them from winning. Just mm-hmm. enough would make people not like him. And then you have Rodgers, who I think has been one of the biggest villains, or probably one of the biggest, most controversial faces in the NFL. He's not playing this year, though he's mm-hmm. still very prevalent. It kind of falls to Mahomes by default, because he's that next established guy.
Yes, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Sideline outbursts are not foreign, are not a foreign concept for the people that you just named. I mean, Tom Brady has plenty of highlight reels of him screaming at his offensive linemen and throwing down iPads and stuff like that. And Rodgers, at least publicly outside of football, has said some things that have really rubbed people the wrong way and I don't know. I don't even know what to describe some of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he's been described as a bad teammate before. I think there's that reputation of him in Green Bay that he wasn't like the best teammate.
But at the end of the day, both of those guys still, I think, ended up being revered and kind of loved from an NFL standpoint. So I don't think that Mahomes has done anything this year that is going to like severely impact his public persona. But I mean, like right now, it certainly does feel like everybody's sort of turned off by the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they're just, I mean, they don't look good. Like, if they were playing well, I think it would be a different story. Even mm-hmm. with the outbursts and the frustrations, they've lost three of their last four. Luckily for them, they faced the Chargers on the last week in LA, and that game, if they somehow lose that game, that might be a little embarrassing. Man, it's Like I said, I don't want to watch a single Kansas City game the rest of the year. It's just not fun.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know what? I don't want to watch another Kansas City game this year either, so I won't. We can do it together.
So I don't want to watch the Raiders either. So, I mean, we're just going to, like, scoot by. The big thing for me with Aiden, I think the Raiders are in a position where it's – I mean, it's an obvious transition for this franchise. They're either going to make a coaching change or the coaching change that they made this year is going to really take into effect next year. If they – re-sign Pierce and name him the ongoing coach, then he's going to want to bring in guys that he wants to see. And I think we can all sit here and say right now, Aiden O'Connell isn't a franchise quarterback from what we've seen.
Just through eight games, I can understand saying that, but I don't think that he hasn't, he may not be a franchise quarterback. I don't know, but he also, I think, has done enough that having a season to look at him, if you can't get one of these super high profile quarterbacks in the draft, which I don't think they're going to be able to, then you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than Aiden O'Connell, especially from a guy who wasn't expected to play, sort of got thrust into the situation, and had to transition from, not only was he not expected to play, but I think he played a game with McDaniels, and then McDaniels got fired, and then he had a new head coach, new OC, within the span of like a week or two after starting. So I think a full off season for him, I really do think he would look significantly better next year. And like I said, I think the Raiders have played their way out of a top spot, so I think the only way that they could move up would be to trade Devontae, which I guess is still on the list of options, but I don't know, Devontae seems to be much more happy now. So
are the Raiders closer to contending for an AFC title than the number one pick? Which one are they closer to?
Probably an AFC title or their division.
No, AFC title. What's a division win to them?
Well, I mean, a division win would be a guaranteed playoff spot, which would be super nice.
But the goal of the season isn't to win the division.
Well, that needs to be the first goal of the season, at least. You got to get in. You got to get into the dance. I don't know. That's an interesting question because I feel like they're almost dead center. It's weird. I could see it going either way. Like their defense, I think, has played enough games now, well, at least in the seven games since Pierce took over, that I don't think that their defense is a fluke. Like, them being good, it's not a fluke. Like, starting way back on November 5th, which I think these are the seven games in which Pierce took over. They gave up 6, 12, 20. They lost. They gave up 31 against the Chiefs, but then it was 3, 21 and 14. They've been playing really, really well. And those games that they played the Chiefs twice, they played the Dolphins once. So I don't think that the defense being good is a fluke. The offense right now has enough pieces that I feel like if you had, I don't know, truthfully, I don't know what the issue with the offense is. Maybe it is Aiden, and maybe I'm talking him up too much. I don't know. Maybe it would look significantly better if we did have a different quarterback. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't know what the answer to that question is, because it kind of feels like they're right in the middle to me. Like, they're 50-50. They are a perfectly average team.
Okay. I can take that. I think it'd be better to have – I think I have leaned towards they're probably closer to worst in their division.
Here, I'll tell you what. Here's if Aiden is not the quarterback next year, then here's what I would say. I've already seen articles that are naming the Raiders as maybe a fit for Russell Wilson. Ooh. For the love of God, I hope that does not happen. Here's what I would say would be cool. If we couldn't move up in the draft, and let's say the Bears decide to draft a quarterback, I wouldn't mind the Raiders going and trying to go get Justin Fields. I think that would be a really interesting fit. You get a new coach, bring in a new quarterback, a young quarterback. You pair him. Hopefully that would be enough to maybe – I'm going to assume that Josh Jacobs is still on the roster next year. I hope he's still on the roster next year. You pair him with Josh. That's a really interesting running game you have there. I think that Justin Fields would be a very, very attractive prospect if you're looking at who's going to be available this offseason. If you're out on all of the guys in the draft, but you need a new quarterback, then for the love of God, don't go get Russell Wilson. Go get Justin Fields. That would be an infinitely better option.
Well, they're in a tough spot because they're still paying. They're going to be paying Jimmy G still next year. So they're kind of paying like top of the market quarterback money for a guy that's not playing.
True. I think they could get Jimmy off the roster, though. I think there's going to be enough teams that are probably going to want him, especially after a season where we all saw how important having a good backup is.
Yeah, true. True. This year to me is just so bizarre with results that I don't know. I think this year's kind of a fluke. The fact that the Raiders have 7 wins.
Well, speaking of flukes, how was the Ravens beating the 49ers a fluke?
No, I think Raiders really like that. The Ravens really had I think that was a big statement win for them, and I think it's awesome for the Niners.
Oh yeah, explain.
Every time that the Niners have had these giant expectations of this is the greatest team of all time, this team has MVP Brock Purdy on it, this like what team can beat this team in the NFC, they go out and lose. And it's like it's hard for a team to have that target on their back the entire time. And I think the Ravens really came out with that motivation and that point to prove that they were being slighted, no fault to the Niners. And I think the Niners really came out well too. It was just unfortunate about those turnovers that they had early. And then when they kept turning the ball over, they just could never come back. I think the Ravens are, I would like to see them do something in the playoffs. We've never really seen them with this iteration of a team with Lamar Jackson at the helm do anything in the playoffs. And this is a huge opportunity for them with the AFC being absolutely wide open for them to actually do something. The unfortunate thing is I think the Bills are better than them.
Mm. That's interesting.
And I'm not worried about the Niners, even though they lost this game. Brock Purdy had probably his worst game of the season.
Yeah.
But I'm not bad. I'm not mad about it. He looked better than Aiden O'Connell did in a win, so I'm not super mad about it at all.
I don't think that's true. Aiden didn't throw 4 interceptions.
Oh, my God. He had 9 completions for 60 yards. It was like, well, he wasn't out there.
Brock Purdy almost had 9 completions to the other team, so let's pump the brakes there. Is Christian McCaffrey the MVP?
I think if the Niners have the best record in the league, he should win it. This whole that Lamar Jackson is now the front runner for the MVP is absolutely ridiculous.
I was going to say, I was about to look up who the odds on favorite is, and you're right. I believe it's Lamar.
It is.
Who's second? Is Dak second?
No, I think Christian is.
Okay, because I'm trying to find the odds right now. And okay, so this is from 3 days ago. Okay, so. All right, so this is from Vegas Insider. They've got all of the odds right here. Yeah, so Lamar is the betting favorite. McCaffrey's second. Josh Allen is third. And Tua is fourth. Okay, so Dak's way down here. Okay. Okay, so obviously Lamar and Christian play in two different divisions. The Ravens have a game lead over the 49ers right now. So if the Ravens finish with a better record, you're thinking it's going to go – so you think that the record is going to be the determining factor of the MVP?
Yeah, I think whichever team. I mean, it really depends if the Bills go out and win out, and Josh Allen plays phenomenal, he might win. I mean, it is so wide open. I've heard a lot of podcasts that are saying like this is unprecedented how much the odds for the MVP have changed this late in the year, game to game. It's just you. This year is completely conventional. I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. I hope. I don't think for one that McCaffrey's going to win it. It's a quarterback award at this point.
Well, it's funny that you say that. I mean, going back earlier, you had said that this season was such a fluke for so many different reasons. CBS Sports yesterday posted a graphic that said 24 teams are still in Super Bowl contention through week 16, tied for the most with 2 weeks left to play since 2004. I mean, everybody's still available right now. Yeah. Basically. And you know what's awesome? I'm looking at the MVP odds. I'm looking at the top 15. Joe Flacco's on this list. I love it.
Could he win Comeback Player of the Year?
He should. I mean, because here's the thing. Cleveland actually, there is a path for Cleveland to win the AFC. They would need a little bit of help. But there is a path for them to actually do it. I believe the Ravens would have to lose out and the Browns would have to win out. And I think like one or two things need to happen for that to fall into place. But they've actually played themselves into a potential AFC title, although it is unlikely, especially after the Ravens won. But it's still there. I don't see how anybody else could win Comeback Player of the Year other than Joe Flacco. I mean, the fact that he has been playing as well as he has after basically coming off the couch, it's unbelievable. And it's awesome. Like, for the Browns, that's such a cool thing for them.
Yeah, the guy, they pay the biggest contract to any quarterback in NFL history, and he's not the guy to bring them to prominence. It's a guy that was on his couch a few weeks ago who also was most notable for his time in a division rivals franchise. Like, that is just absolutely bizarre. It just goes to show it with a year that has like really down quarterback play. It's awesome to see that Joe Flacco's doing this. And you also look at, I think there was a report that came out last week that his agents, as soon as Rodgers went down, reached out to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And were like, hey, like, we're here, we're available. And the Jets said no. Could you imagine? The Jets might be division leaders if they had Flacco playing like this.
Maybe. And it's funny because I feel like the Browns and the Jets are actually built fairly similarly. I think the strength of both of those teams is their defense, and they have pretty good offensive weapons. I think they're very similar. The only thing is that the Jets offensive line stinks and the Browns offensive line does not. So yeah. That's the only thing. And it might be the biggest thing, especially for a quarterback, who's probably as unathletic as Aiden O'Connell.
That's fair.
Browns actually play tonight. They play the Jets as of when we're recording.
Yeah, they should win that game.
Yes, they should. So we got one more NFL thing that we need to talk about before we move on, and that'll be the whole Russell Wilson fiasco that is happening in Denver. So I have CBS Sports article right here. I'm just going to read a little bit of this just to catch everybody up as best I can, so that way we're all on the same page. So this is from CBS Sports. So the Broncos lost any realistic shot at making the playoffs by falling to the Patriots on Sunday, giving them a 7-8 record and just a 1.4% chance of reaching the postseason with 2023 winding down. Now they're benching quarterback Russell Wilson for the final two games. The Broncos insist the decision to turn to backup Jared Stidham is meant to provide an offensive spark after a 1-3 stretch. That it has nothing to do with the quarterback's contract, per CBS Sports HQ senior NFL insider Josina Anderson. But the writing is on the wall. Wilson had recently sidestepped questions about his future in Denver beyond 2023, while an injury in the final two games would have prevented the Broncos from seamlessly releasing the quarterback after the season should the team desire to move on. Why did Sean Payton make the move from Wilson to Stidham? Here's Payton's quote. I can tell you, look, we're desperately trying to win. The number one push behind this, and it's a decision I'm making, is to provide a spark offensively. Obviously, it's difficult, and all of us feel like, man, we didn't do well enough. But one of the things we saw when we signed Stidham in the offseason, not only from preseason games, but regular season games, but he's a guy I'm excited to see play. If I didn't feel like he gave us the chance to win, we wouldn't be making that move. Per The Athletic, Wilson is expecting to be cut in March. He reportedly knew his fate with the organization for nearly 2 months. The Broncos reached out to Wilson's representatives in late October if he did not defer the injury guaranteed trigger date that he has for 2025, which is $37 million guaranteed on the fifth day of the league year. So it's a mess in Denver right now, which again, great for the Raiders. I'm loving seeing the Chiefs free falling, and the Broncos as well. Right now, I think out of all of the teams in the AFC West, the Raiders are the most stable. Justin Herbert is out. They fired their quarterback. Russell Wilson is about to leave. Sean Payton's bringing in a backup quarterback, and the Chiefs keep bitching about everything and making everybody hate them. The Raiders right now are in a good spot, but I digress. What are your thoughts on the whole Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, Denver Bronco thingamajig?
I mean, didn't we kind of know this was going to happen?
I think
the writing was on the wall. Sean Payton didn't trade for Russell Wilson. Sean Payton comes in with a huge contract this year, has all the backing of management. Actually, I was looking at the scores for them this year. They went on that five-game winning streak in the middle of the year to get them back into playoff contention, really put them into a good spot before Sunday to actually make the playoffs, because they had the Patriots, Chargers, and Raiders, all winnable games. Losing that game to the Patriots, seemingly a team that a team that was tanking, the Broncos find a way to lose that game, and now they're out. And I think this is honestly such a necessary move for Sean Payton to make, because you were getting a good version of Russ this year, but I don't even think this version of Russ was good enough to make the playoffs with this roster. So you move on from him in the offseason, move on from his loaded contract, and look elsewhere. I think it's just what the Broncos had to make.
I mean, this is going to end up being one of the worst contracts in NFL history.
The trade that they made, it's just giving up all those first-round picks and the players that they gave up in that deal for what they thought Russ was going to be. It's not – within 2 years or after 2 years, Russ isn't going to be on this team anymore. It's just – it's such a fail.
So where's he going to go? Atlanta?
Who cares? This is not news. Russell Wilson is what, a below average NFL quarterback right now? He is not going to move the needle wherever he goes.
I don't think he's below average. He certainly wasn't the biggest problem with the Broncos. His stats this season have not been bad at all. And they're actually been better than Patrick Mahomes' stats.
Okay. So is Russell Wilson a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes?
He has been this season.
I mean, that's honestly ridiculous.
Well, he has been this season.
Bro, they lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Texans. They lost to the Raiders in the beginning of this season.
Well, again, he's thrown for three.
They lost to Josh McDaniels, Raiders.
Thank you. He has thrown for 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and his QBR, his rating is at a 98 for the year, and he's at a 66% completion percentage. That is a good stat line for a quarterback. That is an outstanding stat line for a quarterback. I'm not here to say that Russell Wilson was having the greatest season of his career, because he definitely was not. But I think if you're looking at problems with Denver, I don't think it starts with him. I think you can look elsewhere. Now, I'm not intimately connected with the organization in any way to point all of that stuff out. But, if you're just – I've watched enough Broncos games, because they play the Raiders all the time – to tell you that Russell Wilson is playing fairly well. And I'm looking at Russell Wilson's career stats right now, and this season is very much on par with a lot of the seasons that he had in Seattle when he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he ended 2019 with 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's not too far away from that right now. And he's not a guy who's thrown for 5,000 yards or even gotten close to it at any point in his career. The most yards that he threw for in one season, it looks like, was 4,219, and that was in 2016. So it's not like you were ever going to get a 5,000-yard season from Russell Wilson. And I think the beginning of the season, their struggles had as much to do with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton getting to know each other and their cadences as anything else. So again, I think Russell Wilson still got some juice left. I don't know how much it is, but I think if you put him in a place like Atlanta, maybe with all of those offensive weapons, I think you'll see a different version of Russell Wilson.
I was thinking New Orleans.
Could be New Orleans. Yeah.
Cause your boy, Derek, he's lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't think the fans have really taken to him.
Well, he hasn't played well this year.
No, he hasn't played amazing. He's thrown for 3,400 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. So not a terrible stat line, but certainly not his best. But we'll see. We'll see.
Do you think Sean Payton is the problem?
He could be. But oof. I think the organization is gonna be much more willing to move, obviously, as we're seeing it play out right now, is gonna be more willing to eat the contract of Russell Wilson than move Sean Payton, because they've just given Sean Payton so much power.
As they should. I think I'm actually more encouraged by the job that Sean Payton did after the way they responded to getting blown out 70-20. And that team just flipped a switch where not only, I mean, their defensive effort was absolutely phenomenal these last, what is it, like 9 games. But that team just seemed like a, I don't know, it just seemed way more sound as soon as they got blown out by the Dolphins.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what they do in the offseason, because obviously it's not going to involve Russell Wilson. Maybe they'll come get Aiden O'Connell. I don't know.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
You're really going to die on this Aiden O'Connell hill?
Maybe they're going to go after Justin Fields. But again, I don't think that would make a whole lot of sense. I think I keep throwing Justin Fields' name in there only because I think he's going to be the most high-profile free agent quarterback. Although, if you're comparing Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray?
Yep.
But again, what are you getting if you get Justin Fields instead of Russell Wilson? I mean, you're getting a younger quarterback, but I guess you're getting a quarterback who runs as
– yep.
So, but is that really a Sean Payton offense? From everything I heard in the offseason, that's not what he likes to do.
Yeah, I mean, all we can really go off is Drew Brees.
Right.
Man, if Sean could go get like a Kirk Cousins type or
– yeah.
Something Kirk, like that.
Kirk might be available. He'll be expensive, but
is he done? Is he a free agent? I think Minnesota should hold on to him.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he could have been the MVP of the league this year, starting off.
Well, who knows? I mean, Jake Browning's making a name for himself. He might be picked up by a team for looking to be a starter.
Yeah, he's making himself a lot of money.
In all honesty.
Yeah, and you know what I. Speaking of guys making themselves a lot of money, this is completely random, but I was talking to a guy at work the other day, and we were talking about the Ravens because we were talking about the 49ers game, and a guy who's making himself a lot of money right now is Isaiah Likely.
Yep.
And I only bring it up because we're talking about high profile free agents. With how well Isaiah Likely has been playing for the Ravens, it's going to be interesting to see what Mark Andrews – what they're going to do with Mark Andrews in the offseason, because you have a tight end right now who's 23 years old, who's playing very, very well. Mark Andrews is getting older. He's still an absolute stud, but that'll be interesting to see if he wants to go on the move, because Isaiah Likely has just kind of emerged as an offensive weapon for the Ravens. So yeah. That'll be another guy that I'll be curious to see what happens with him. Because I would feel like in terms of high profile names, he would definitely be one of them.
We're in a really interesting time because I think there's a lot of there's probably over half the NFL that is going to be looking for a QB next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, it's just crazy. Maybe even 2/3.
Potentially.
And the Raiders should be one of them.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. But I also wouldn't be mad if they couldn't find somebody. All right. Let's shift our focus for the last couple minutes to the NBA. We'll talk about the Kings because, I mean, there's literally no other team that's worth talking about at this point.
The Kings are getting to that point.
However, they lost one game to Portland, man. Buck up. Dude, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Are we joking? They gave up 130 to Portland.
I know they gave up 130 to Portland, but it's one game. Is this
team ever going to play defense?
Apparently not. But it's one game.
Well, they also lost to the Timberwolves the game before. Got absolutely blown out.
They didn't get blown out. They lost by 12 points. They lost by less points in that game than they did to Portland.
They got blown out, dude.
Do you even pay attention to this team?
I mean, for my own sanity and mental health, I hope not.
You hope? They're 17 and 12. They're in fifth.
Dude, they should be better.
Maybe they should be. Step up. Maybe. Then explain to me what their issues are right now.
I mean, I think I highlighted it pretty clearly, right? Can they guard, like, anyone? I just don't get how Portland can have you know what I don't get? I don't get how every single team has their best offensive games against the Kings. It's not even just Portland. Like, Boston without Jason Tatum. The Clippers every single time they play them. New Orleans every single time they play them. The Warriors every single time they play them. Like, can we get some adjustments here?
It is kind of startling, right? How poor their defense has been, because you know that you absolutely know that that was a point of emphasis in the offseason. I mean, they all talked about it, and it almost looks worse. Like, there are spurts where you watch them play and you're like, oh yeah, no, they can lock in when they need to. And then you watch them give up 144 against the Celtics and then 130 to pretty basically Portland's entire bench. And you just kind of sit there and go, well, now I don't have an answer. Like, I thought my eyes were telling me something, but they're clearly not. So, but again, I don't know. I don't think you need to be down in the dumps with them right now. Like, they lost one bad game to Portland. They're playing against Atlanta this week. That you'd think
probably an L.
You think that's going to be an L?
I mean, I just preparing for it, man.
You're just preparing for it. Atlanta's not amazing. They're 12-18.
The Kings are giving up the third most points in the Western Conference.
That's what I like to hear.
They're 5-4 within the division. They're 14-11 within the conference. Do you know what that tells me? They're just like a middle of the road team in the West. And the only reason why they're the fifth seed, I think they're either the fifth or
they're
sixth
fifth.
Seed, is because they haven't played as many games as everyone else.
Yeah, they haven't played. Yeah, you're right. They haven't. But again,
I'm telling you, if they played more games, they'd have more losses, is my feeling.
Well, again, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button with the Kings or anything like that.
And it's Keegan Murray's fault.
Shut up. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button with the Kings. Maybe they're going through a bit of a rough patch right now, but I have full confidence that they'll be able to pull themselves out of it. I just don't know. As far as the defensive thing goes, I don't know what the situation is with that. Because, I mean, am I an NBA player? No. Did I play in college? No. But I played literally from when I could walk till the moment I couldn't play basketball anymore. And I loved everything about that sport. It's my one of my absolute favorite things ever. And the best piece of advice that I can give anybody who wants to be good at defense is you just need to want to be good at defense. That's literally it. If you don't want to be good at defense, you won't be good at defense. If you want to be good at...
just not entirely
true. No, that almost is entirely true. Because it's not... There are some people who are gifted when it comes to defense. I was not the best offensive player. I have plenty of people who can back that up. But I feel like defensively, that was my strength. And it was just only because it wasn't because I was ever the most like athletic person on the court. I felt like I was one of the most athletic, but I'm sure I wasn't the most athletic on almost any basketball.
Oh, you were. Come on, man. You're cutting yourself too short.
Maybe I am, but I'm trying to make the point that defense really is effort. It really, really is. Could there be a guy you're going up against who just cooks you because he's such a skilled offensive player? Yeah, sure. But it's not going to happen. It won't happen that often if you really dig in and want to play defense. You have to take it personally. There is something – it sounds like a little man syndrome, and it kind of is, but you have to take defense very personally. If somebody decides to go one-on-one against you, that is them saying that I believe I'm better than you. And if you're a defensive player, that should piss you off. And that should be enough to at least – give some semblance of effort. Is it always going to pay off? No, because sometimes there are better offensive plays than defensive plays, even if both are equal. Sometimes the ball just goes in. But in terms of over the course of a whole game, I do think that it really just boils down to how much you want to play defense. And it just doesn't seem like everybody on the team wants to play defense.
Who doesn't want to call him out by name?
Call him out by name?
Yeah, I'm sure they're listening.
Okay, all right. Listen up, Harrison Barnes.
Oh, no. HB, no. You old knees, you.
No. Again, it's one of those things where I think individually, none of the Kings players are insanely great at defense. Fox is a really good on-ball defender. But he only does it in spurts, mainly because he has to contribute so much on offense. Keegan's trying to become that guy, and I think he's doing a better job at it. Again, the only person on the team who is like seems like a defensive like juggernaut is Davion, and he's not playing.
For some reason.
Yeah, I know, but we just don't have that guy who feels like he can dig in and like get you a stop. You know what I mean? We were talking about this. Last show.
We talked about it last show.
Yeah, the Kings don't have that guy who feels like he can hike up his shorts and just give you a stop.
Whoa.
So, I don't know. It's everybody. I mean, it's everybody. And their team defense is not great either. Like, they're not great on defense. But again, I don't feel like it's time to hit the panic button because I think it's one of those things where it's an easy fix or it can be an easy fix.
I don't think it is anymore. We talked about all last season, the defense. Now we're still – it's gotten worse this year. The offense is taking a step back. I mean, they're a negative point differential right now in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, kind of in simple terms, they're not a good team.
Well, I mean, only time will tell. We're basically, I mean, for most people, the NBA season just started because we got to Christmas, or at least for a lot of fans, the NBA season just started. We've got a lot of games left, so we'll see. But I agree with you on this standpoint. If the Kings were to go into the playoffs right now, as currently constructed, they would lose in the first round probably.
Yeah, they would play the Clippers.
Oh, they would. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that'd be a sweep.
So if I'm going down the list of playoff teams right now, if I just go 1 through 8, you tell me which team they'd beat in a playoff series. Minnesota.
God, no.
The Thunder.
I
think they would beat the Thunder.
Maybe.
Denver. That'd
be like a 7-game series. Oh, Denver would sweep the shit out of them.
The Clippers.
Oh, I mean, they might get one game against the Clippers.
The Mavericks.
I think who's going to guard Luka?
Probably Keegan.
then Keegan's giving up 50 a night.
I think they could beat the Mavericks. They would lose to the Pelicans.
I don't think they could beat the Mavericks in a series.
What about the Pelicans?
We've seen that tale.
Yeah, not a chance. 100 times. The Rockets.
I mean, they would beat the Rockets, but have we seen any evidence that they'd beat the Rockets? No.
Right.
Do I still think they're a better team than the Rockets? Yes. So but the Rockets play defense.
So there you go. So those are the eight teams.
And then you got the Lakers at 9, and then Phoenix for some reason at 10.
Yeah, they seem to be able to beat the Suns just fine. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, Bradley Beal hasn't played a minute with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I'm curious. I really want to see what that big three looks like.
If we ever do.
In Phoenix, because I think that can just be like it's like a sleeping giant.
Could be.
Man, you have the Lakers, Phoenix, and Golden State all in a row.
I know.
And it's like you could say the same description for all three of those teams.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. All right. Well, you got any closing thoughts on the NFL or the NBA or anything or life?
Hey, had a wonderful Christmas, man. Got to see all the family. I think Christmas, as we get older now, it's less about the things you get and it's more about the people you see.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to somebody about that when it came to like gift giving. I was like, you know, I really wish that I, you know, had my career job right now and was making more than I do on like a college job, because I really enjoy giving gifts to people. But when you're on a budget as a recently graduated college student, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, man, this month was tough. A lot of money was coming out and not a lot was coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really am looking forward to hopefully next year or definitely the year after, where it's like, okay, well, now I feel more comfortable giving gifts to the people who have given me gifts growing up. So, all right. Well, New Year is fast approaching, and we will be back with a fury, hopefully, of new episodes starting this year. Also, before we go, we have one order of business to take care of. Sam, neither one of us got all three of our games right.
No.
I hit on the Dolphins and Bills one, but I lost with your stupid 49ers didn't close the deal for me. So that really put it – that really – I thought – I was so cocky going into that last game. I was like, oh, dude, I'm so going to win this week. And then no. And then you didn't hit – you had the Commanders over the Jets. That didn't happen. You had Cleveland over the Texans. That happened. And you had the Colts over the Falcons, and that did not happen.
Man, what the heck, Colts? It was right there. Like, Atlanta is the weirdest team
to
figure out.
Yeah, no, they are. So let's take a quick look at the NFL schedule. We'll make our final picks, and we'll get on out of here. We'll go three games, just like before. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go first, man.
All right. Give me the Raiders over the Colts.
Whoa.
They're playing desperate. They're playing well. Their defense has been playing absolutely outstanding. The Colts are coming off of a dud. Give me the Colts to lose to the Raiders. I'm riding with my boys. I have to, right? I can't not.
Could not. I mean, this is slam dunk. Give me the Rams over the Giants. Like, come on, in New York.
Okay, well.
I'm stepping out on the ledge on that one.
Okay, yeah. Like, I need some risky picks from you. You can't just hit me with the Browns over the Jets. All right, you got any other ones that are jumping out at you? Because I think I've got my next one.
Could the Chargers scared Buffalo a little bit.
They did.
Last week.
They did.
Could the Chargers beat Denver in Denver in the backup QB bowl?
In the backup QB bowl. Potentially. Easton Stick has been playing okay.
Give me Green Bay over Minnesota in Minnesota.
Green Bay over Minnesota in Minnesota.
Hey, Nick Mullins didn't look bad. He threw four picks, but he was also slinging it to Justin Jefferson.
He threw for 400 yards.
That is a coaching job. Like, the job that Kevin O'Connell has done in Minnesota, it doesn't matter what QB. They've had three different starting QBs this year. That offense is still running.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jenna, you're going to like this one. Give me the Bears over the Falcons.
Oh, wow. He really went on that. I don't know. Limb on that one.
The Falcons have a better record.
Than what?
Than the Bears. give me the Bears over the Falcons in Chicago. And then my last one.
The Bears are favored in that game.
They are?
Yep.
By how much?
3.
Wow. Well.
Wow. You were like, oh, man, this is a big hit right here.
Oh, man. Well, either way. And then I'm looking at the Lions, Cowboys, and the Dolphins, Ravens. I want to pick that game. All right. Let's do this. I think that the newly appointed NFC North champions are going to go into Dallas and smack the Cowboys.
Smack? Oh, what do you think?
It's going to be 60-4.
Wow, you're calling that shot?
I'm really.
How are they going to get 4? How's Dallas going to get 4?
2 safeties. By the way, the beginning of the Ravens 49ers game with, what was it, 5-2?
It was 5
or 5-3 was one of the weirdest starts to a game ever. That was such a fun score to look at.
See, that's why, like, I don't get Lamar should be MVP. Like, he didn't play that well in that game.
He didn't play that well. All right, give me your third pick.
Whoa, that like came from the depths. Whatever just came out of you.
It was a hiccup and it really hurt.
Ouchie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Dallas is going to beat Detroit. And I think I want Miami to beat Baltimore, but I think Baltimore is going to beat Miami.
All right, we'll pick one. Or pick a different game, whatever.
I'll take Dallas.
All right. Dallas, they should be favored in that game.
They are by 4.5.
Yeah. Let's say they should be. All right. Picks are in. They are written down. So let it be written. So let it be done. All right. Everybody enjoy. We hope you enjoyed your Christmas and then enjoy the New Year celebration. Looking forward to 2024. Lots more shows. Lots more sports to talk about. Thank you all so much for listening this entire year. We really do appreciate it. And we'll see you all very soon.
See ya.